Well, good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. How many of you were happy to rest after the garage sale? I'm looking forward to it this afternoon myself. If you worked at the garage sale, God bless you. If you shopped at the garage sale, God bless you. If you donated to the garage sale, God bless you too. I don't know that it's been announced yet, but as of right now, the total is $25,550.76, just to be exact. Praise God for that. And I am glad that next year is next year and not right now. It's always good when Kent comes by the office and go, "Hey, it's time." It's time. Only when the Lord comes, that's will be a good time. Actually, I am looking forward to preaching this morning. I have a lot of caffeine in me, a little sleep, and about 8 different ways till Sunday to do this message. And given that it's Sunday, I'm going to pick one and go with it. I was advised by Dan Norwood to just talk to everybody, so I'm talking, but I'll be peeking at my notes. So if you want to rest from the garage sale, be my guest. It's between you and the Lord. We've been going through a series entitled Living as Jesus Taught, and Sten Eric Armitage, he's been doing a great job. Amen. Fantastic. I wish he was here today. Last year, garage sale, the second day, I had the privilege of marrying the newcomer's daughter to her husband. And I thought, never again am I going to do anything at the end of the garage sale. And so I wasn't supposed to preach until 2 weeks after. But thanks to whoever hasn't been praying for rain to abate, I find myself once again tired after the garage sale. At any rate, 2 weeks ago, Sten Eric spoke to us about denying oneself, saying no to our sinful inclination by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, I might add, so that we might be transformed, that is, conformed further to the very image of Christ. Last Sunday, he taught on the necessity of taking up one's cross, that we are to weave the reality of Jesus' cross, his life, death, and resurrection into the fabric of our everyday lives. That teaching is rich. I'm glad he didn't spend a year with it or 2.5 hours last Sunday, but it was great. He ended with a reference to Luke 9:23, and if you could turn to Luke chapter 9 in your Bibles right now, you can follow along or you could listen to me. Luke 9:23 says this, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So, if you want to be a disciple, and you want to figure out how to do it, here it is. Clear instructions in 3 simple steps. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. There it is, easy peasy, simple as pie. In this verse, all the verbs are what's known as imperatives, that is, they're commands. But the tense of denying self and taking up one's cross, they're in the past tense. And the tense sequence here, the command to follow Jesus is present. So the tenses and the sequence tell us that somehow in the mystery of God, this decision, this intentional past response to the gospel and our deciding to deny ourselves and to take up our cross absolutely impacts our ability to follow after Jesus today in the present. If I were to deny myself without bearing my cross, I would be attempting to follow Jesus in the power of my own strength. That's the power of the flesh, and the flesh can only produce sin. If we are to faithfully follow Jesus, it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit, because in ourselves we sin. And in this fallen world, it is sin that is separating me and you from our God in the first place. As Stenerick likes to say, the goal is to shrink the distance between ourselves and Christ, between Jesus and me. Luke 14:27, which is included in your bulletin, by the way, which was so wonderfully read by Susan, thank you, says this: whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Here again, clear instructions, only this time, this is on how not to be a disciple. You can not be a disciple in two simple steps. All you have to not do is two simple things. Don't bear your cross and don't come after Jesus. There. You don't want to be a Jesus follower? Then don't do those things. The verbal elements in this verse are different, though. They're both in the present tense, and that really kind of translates for us. If you're not presently bearing your cross and you're not presently following after Jesus, then you're not being a bad disciple. Jesus says you're simply not a disciple at all. It's the blunt truth, right? And it frightens me, but I'll get to why you shouldn't be frightened. Discipleship begins with the gospel. That's what we heard. Christ died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. If you trust Christ to get you to heaven, you enter into the Christian walk, the Christian way. And once on the way, you are to become a faithful follower. And following is what brings us to our main passage today, Luke 9, 57 to 62, a passage where we read about three unknown, unnamed men who Jesus engages along the road. Three conversations Jesus holds up to teach us that to be his disciple, that is to be a faithful follower of Christ, is sober and serious business. From verse 9:51, of course, I'm sure you've all read it behind, setting the context, as we know, Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. Our reading today begins with these words: as they were going along the road. In Greek, the word that's translated road is hodos. The English Standard Version, as well as the New International Version, here use the word road. But elsewhere, the exact same word is translated way. You'll notice that I've entitled my message Along the Way, as opposed to Along the Way, Along the Road, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. Acts 9:2, Saul sets out with a letter from the high priest going to Damascus to seek any followers of the Hados, the way. It wouldn't sound right, seeking those who are followers of the road. And since I want to be a follower of the way and not a follower of the road, I've come up with that title. So there you have it. Also, John 14:6, everybody knows that when Jesus tells his disciples this: I am the Hados and the truth and the life. How would it sound? I am the road and the truth and the life. It's the same word, but we like the way, the truth, and the life. We are followers of the way. That's what Paul said before Festus. According to the way, which they call a sect, which we call Christianity, this way of Jesus. We must be, to be followers of his way, we must be considered, committed, and constant. And just for the way, I love this. We have Jesus, who is the way, while on his way, pointing out what is needed for us to follow in his way. So on the way we go. Verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus answers this offer this future following offer from this nameless person with a reminder that his way is not an easy road. Even wild animals and birds have a place to rest and to get comfortable, not the Son of Man. You see, he's on mission. He left the glory and splendor of heaven to preach the gospel and to redeem sinful humanity. His face is set to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem is where he will be crucified and 3 days later raised again from the dead. And then, as we know the rest of the story, he returns to heaven to be seated at the right hand of his Father. We know his departure is near. In Luke chapter 9, verse 30, the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are talking to Jesus about his, the translation will say departure, but the word you all know in Greek is Exodus, ex hados, the way out. So we're following Jesus not to make our way into the world, but to ensure in our following we get out of this world into the new heaven and the new earth that is waiting for us. Okay, so Jesus demands that those who follow him, they must consider the cost. His way is not an easy way. Every follower of Jesus must make the considered choice. In the first century, there were no casual Christians. If there was casual, it might have been casualty. To follow Christ came with a cost. I don't know if you've heard the news this morning, but there was a mass shooting in Orlando, Florida. It's the month of Ramadan. Some Islamic extremists evidently have bombed and shot up an LGBT club, is the report I had seen. The lost slaughtering the lost. Jesus came to redeem the sinful world. It matters how we follow on the way. Every follower of Jesus must make the considered following a priority. This is the gospel. Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. The proper response to the gospel, we know from Stenerick's previous 2 weeks, is a denying of self and taking up our cross. Today, we're talking about following him every single day. In the second exchange we have along the way, Jesus reveals that to be a faithful follower, one must also be a committed follower. This is like everybody's favorite discourse verse, right? Jesus tells a guy, follow me. The exact same words he used to call all of his disciples. And yet this guy says, Lord, no, I'm calling you Lord, but first let me go bury my father. And Jesus comes back with this really difficult passage that most of the commentaries are very content to write much about, but I don't think it's the point whether his father was alive or whether his father was dead. It's about priority of commitment. When you're following the Son of Man, who is on mission to redeem sinful fallen humanity, it is Jesus first. It's Jesus' first commitment when it comes to following Jesus. It's a Jesus' first commitment when it comes to your family. It's a Jesus' first commitment when it comes to job. It's Jesus first. It's a Jesus committed priority. Recall that in Luke 8, after Jesus cast out demons from the demoniac, he's getting in his boat to go across back, and the demoniac wants to get into the boat with him. And Jesus tells him, no, but you go preach the word in your hometown. And you know that demoniac who was found in a graveyard went out joyfully preaching everywhere about the kingdom of God. Now note the irony. That was a guy who started in a graveyard and ended up preaching the gospel. Here's a guy along the road with Jesus, and when he is called by the Savior to follow him, he says, I want to go to a graveyard. Jesus says, follow me. You go and you share the gospel. How we doing, church? Sleeping? No, okay, just checking. If I do, somebody wake me up. Okay, I know I'm preaching to myself here about how are we doing. I don't want to even consider how many times I failed to share the gospel, how I failed to make Jesus my first priority. I'm so easily preoccupied by things that don't bring life. I'm not talking about the garage sale. I think that endeavor brings life, right? It's enabling us to go to Supai. It's enabling us to go to Hungary and other places around the world. I wonder, are you preoccupied? Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. We are to be committed followers of this truth. We are to share this gospel. Jesus demands committed followers along the way. In the final two verses we have, we find out that a true follower of Jesus is also to be a constant or a continuous follower of the way. Here's what is written. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This third man, unnamed, unknown, announces on his own, I am going to follow you. But first, just a quick goodbye. Jesus simply states that even a man plowing a field has to look forward or he's going to plow a crooked field. Now, I don't think he's talking about doing sound agriculture. Jesus is on the way not just to Jerusalem, but to heaven. We are to follow him not just to Jerusalem, but to heaven. It matters what we do along the way as we go with our Lord. I think that once we have considered and committed to following the way, Jesus is teaching us that we have to pay careful, constant attention to following him. He has to be our constant focus. Otherwise, we'll be divided between remaining in the world or staying focused in the kingdom, being in the flesh or being in the spirit. If we don't do it right, we will plow ourselves a crooked row. Faithful following requires us to be constant and continuous in our following along the way. Jesus is saying plainly here some very frightening words. Anybody who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That doesn't convict anybody but me. It makes me shiver. And then I remember, my salvation is not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon the Son of Man, the one who has come and redeemed. It is on him and in him and in his way that I follow, that we follow. The one who saved me, it is he who is fitting me and fitting you for heaven. I'm not fit, but someday, boy, will I be shiny. It's in this considered, committed, constant, continuous following of Jesus that we're being conformed to the image of Christ. That's why it's called good news, because Christ died for... Okay, you are sleeping. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. You can tell people you preached the gospel today. A little verb fact about all these verses we've been looking at. The most frequently used verb by Luke is he said. It's used seven times. Some of you Bible number people say, oh, seven, that's a good one. He said seven times, follow three times, go three times. There's something about the saying that is being said here by Luke, I think. More so than follow and go is the saying. Perhaps it's pointing to the priority of sharing the gospel as we both follow Jesus and go along the way. Each of us who are seated here today who have believed in Jesus Christ, we have received the gospel from someone else. Each of us saw in somebody something of a reality. Somebody bore convincing witness of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ, and they lived it out along the way in such convincing fashion that it became believable. And for those of us who have believed, it has become reality. We're called to share convincingly the way. Amen. Who brought it to you? To whom have you brought it? And to whom will you still yet bring it? We have been commanded by Christ to carry the gospel into all the world. Our garage sale was for that. Roger, Suzanne, and Brian Dorio, they're in Indonesia right now. They're doing that. Juliet Barbary, she's in Tanzania right now doing that. And later this afternoon, Fran Jocelyn and her niece, Jess Gregory, they're heading out to the Global Proclamation Congress in Bangkok, Thailand, to do that. I'd like to ask Fran and Jess if you guys would come on up, and with your family too, if you would like. And as they make their way up here, I'm going to read some other verses of Scripture. We're going to pray for them as they get ready to go, but I also want to encourage us that we are not to walk the road alone. We are in community. God has placed us in this church for this time, for His glory, for our good, that we might walk together. Philippians 3:17 says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:17. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Romans 14:19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Building up, reaching out. Redeemer Bible Church. Discipleship. It involves a personal, considered, committed, constant following after Christ by the power of the Spirit. And Scripture exhorts us to practice our faith in community together, and to imitate this practice of mature believers everywhere. And we are to go into the world as you are getting ready to go now in the power of the Spirit. Will you join me as we close this sermon and pray for these who will go? Let's bow. Our Father, how great and awesome is your love for us, that you would send your Son into the world to redeem us. We thank you for his sacrifice and for the Holy Spirit whom we have to help us follow after Jesus for your glory, for our good along the way. We ask the Spirit's help to transform us into considered, committed, and constant followers. And we lift up to you this morning for your favor and blessing our sisters, Fran Jocelyn and Jess Gregory. May you grant them favor, protection, provision, and strength for this undertaking. May they make known the glorious name of Jesus. And because of their following, may the church throughout all the world be blessed by the gospel. They are bringing resources from Authenticity Bookhouse. We pray that they would multiply into many blessings. We ask you go before them, that you walk beside them, that you follow after them, that you be the ground beneath their feet and open heaven to their eyes. Open our eyes, that together in the Spirit we might proclaim with certainty the words of the gospel for your great glory. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray now. And God's people said, Amen.